Hello, and welcome back to the Vital Masculinity Podcast. This is the last episode in our Cardinal Virtues series. That's right, we are talking about practicing fortitude this week. Don't worry, though, this isn't going to be the last time we're talking about virtue, because that's actually part of our whole mission here at Vital Masculinity, to help men become more virtuous, to help them form a strong brotherhood and good friendships with other men, and in turn, to use that to build up their families and communities. So everything that we do at Vital Masculinity is in some way going to tie into virtue. This series has been a way for us to set a baseline, a foundation for everything that we're going to talk about moving forward. So while we're officially done with the series, we're not done with these virtues. These virtues are fundamental to everything we're doing here. So why don't you take some notes, because I think you're going to find this very helpful, and soon you'll be on your way to becoming a more virtuous and fortitudinous man.
Shall we move on to fortitude, sir?
Sure. So fortitude, as we mentioned, is resisting unpleasurable things. So I think one of the maybe top examples that you often hear from different men's groups that are trying to help men become better versions of themselves is to take cold showers. And Stephen, can you tell me a little bit about that? Why in the world would I want to take a cold shower?
Oh man, there's so many benefits of it, and it really is great. As contrary, you know, as it sounds on initial thought, and we will link a video that kind of explains some of the science behind it. But at face value, cold showers are good, or cold baths, ice baths. They're good because they force you out of your comfort zone in a very primal way. We don't like being cold. I mean, heck, I don't like waking up, putting my feet on my hardwood floor in my bedroom, and being cold. Yet cold showers mimic, you know, when we get into a cold shower, I'll say, our body floods with adrenaline and we do not want to be there. And yes, it gets better. Our body's able to kind of regulate itself after a little bit of time. We're not breathing as heavily, but we're still flooding our body with adrenaline. And the key part is this, is that we're using our mind, we're using our willpower and our discipline to stay there, because our body wants us to jump out because it sucks. It's unpleasurable. But by staying in there, we're flexing our willpower and we're putting ourselves in a situation where we're growing in a way that we can face other things. That, you know, like if we take a cold shower, it'll be a little bit easier for us to stand up to a boss that, you know, maybe wants us to work on a weekend when we have our kids, you know, soccer game or things like that. So even though a cold shower is completely divorced from, you know, standing up to your boss on face value, you're still getting those benefits that translate over to other things that may take fortitude.
Absolutely. And I think that starting the day out with resisting some unpleasurable thing is setting yourself in the right direction. You know, starting out on the right side of the bed, whatever you want to call it. And that's kind of what we were talking when I was talking about before in the past couple episodes, where I was saying that I'm really trying to not hit the snooze button. You know, I guess that maybe example is more of a temperance, because it's pleasurable and to continue sleeping, but they're kind of tied together here. You know, just think about it. I wake up in the morning, I want to keep sleeping, but I get up and that's like my first step of the day. And then I jump into the shower and it's a freezing cold shower and it's horrible, but I get through it. I wash it and I'm cleaned up and wow, I'm ready to take on the world here. And especially because I live in New York, because when you take a cold shower when it's 10 degrees out, I have to believe that it's a little bit colder than maybe when it's 60 degrees out.
Yeah, no, for sure. I definitely agree. Because when you get out of the shower, for you as compared to me, it's still cold. So you're always cold, you know, we'll just say it like that. But I think an extension of this and another good way to practice fortitude is really just to do good things, and the key word here is good, but do good things that are uncomfortable. And some basic examples are like, you know, running or working out. For me, it's a Spartan race, because the thought of doing a Spartan race puts me outside of my comfort zone, which is why I'm going to be doing this one this year with Brian. And by doing these things, you know, we have the benefits, the ancillary benefits of like running and working out, and we have our physical results that we see, as well as, you know, mental and emotional results. But we're really putting ourselves in positions, if those are things that truly make us uncomfortable, to, you know, again, flex our willpower, flex the muscles that will enable us to be more courageous in other scenarios, like, you know, standing up against, you know, injustice, or, you know, fighting against, you know, challenges and setbacks and fighting through them. So that is another key way that you can practice courage and become a more fortitudinous man.
The key here is practice, because I think fortitude is very, probably the sexiest virtue that we've talked about. And you think of the movies where, you know, some war hero, or, you know, there's this huge disaster, the world's ending, and you're outrunning the earthquake or something like that. And I don't know, maybe you will be faced with a situation like that someday. I don't know. But I have to imagine that if you're actually going to show some fortitude in that situation, you've probably worked out and run and practiced those things ahead of time before that situation actually comes about.
Brian, come on. You know that when the coronavirus leads to the zombie apocalypse, that, you know, I'm just going to be able to, with no training or preparation, you know, lead my family and hijack a nuclear silo bunker in Kansas and live out the rest of my days there. Right.
Okay, well, I'm going to join you then, because I'm not ready.
Yeah, no, neither am I. But, you know, like, again, I love the example you used with the movies, and just so much media portrays courage as something that's easy. But it's not. And if you've ever been in positions where you need to, you know, fight for what you believe in, or stand up for yourself or someone else, most men, it does not come naturally to. So getting practice, like we're talking about, is vital. To becoming, you know, a more virtuous man in this manner.
The one movie, or I guess this is a mini series, that comes to mind that I think actually did a good job of this was Band of Brothers, because
love it. Yep.
They show the grueling exercises that these guys go through to just even train and be ready for war, and then just all the horrible things that they go through during the war, and the things that they're fighting. You know, not just fighting against the Axis powers, but fighting against the cold and all these other things to do what they think is right. And, you know, that's a great show, so I definitely recommend checking that out. And I think that's a good example of what fortitude actually looks like.
And they're normal people at the beginning to boot. You know, these are not superheroes. They're not Steve Rogers or Captain America. So these are normal men that, you know, in real life existed. So I definitely agree with that recommendation. Now, moving on, another way, and I'll lump these three together, that you can practice fortitude is by meditation, prayer, and solitude. And Brian, why are those three about practicing fortitude as compared to, you know, maybe another virtue?
Because these things, I don't think, are naturally appealing to us. We don't have trouble with that. Like, it's not something that I'm worried about doing to excess. I'm not worrying about meditating for 20 hours and being like, oh, where did my day go? Like, that just seems impossible to me. But I think there's a couple things that you're actually resisting when you meditate, when you pray, when you spend time in solitude. You're resisting distractions, and maybe a more modern example that I think we can all relate to is the fear of missing out. We're resisting these things so that we can collect ourselves and to recognize something that's more important than just all these fleeting things that are going on around us.
I would like to have a conversation in the future about solitude, maybe once we wrap up this series on the cardinal virtues, because I think it is something that's so crucially important to becoming a man, yet it's so often overlooked in our noisy and distractible world. And, I mean, it's exactly what you just talked about, where we have this fear of missing out, and living in a world where we have social media, if we don't have solitude, if we don't have opportunities to not just reflect, but to really just kind of sit with our own identity, we're creating our lives, and we're creating our identity based on, you know, likes and promoting ourselves to other people. And that's not a good thing, because at the end of the day, that's a very shallow existence, and we're not actually becoming, you know, like the men that our ancestors were, who didn't grow up with Facebook, who didn't grow up, you know, heck, with television and, you know, 24/7 news cycles.
That also makes me think that, and I don't know why, but I think of this often, is the importance of fortitude, especially, is what happens in a dystopian situation. God forbid, the electrical grid goes down for months. How do we live without technology, with all these things? So I think that that's why these practices are important, because it's important for us to recognize and not just rely on conveniences and technology to be good men, but to learn how to be good men in any situation.
A great book which touches on what you're talking about is Anti-Fragile by Nicholas Nassim Taleb. And he talks about, you know, there's fragile people and there's people that are resilient, but the goal is to become anti-fragile, where you have enough redundancies built in, basically, that you can withstand the chaos and you can thrive in it. Like, kind of like I think the example he uses is the Hydra, where, you know, you cut off one head and then two come back to take its place. And having these redundancies in place is just crucial in the event of, like, a, you know, a doomsday scenario, kind of what we're talking about or what you're mentioning. And it's not that we're preppers or anything, but always being ready is very important to your family, because we can't live in a world where we ignore the truth. You know, people are still violent. People are still greedy. People are still controlled by passions, and they may want to, you know, attack you. So having these internal and external toolkits, so having courage as well as having, you know, guns and skills that are useful, is a great way to protect yourself and protect your family if that's something that's important to you.
And just circling back to what we're talking about with meditation and prayer and solitude, like, these things will, you know, it requires fortitude to exercise and to do these things. And it also, I believe, if I recall correctly, it ties into prudence. So you need to have these things in order to be able to act prudently. If you can't take a moment to assess the situation, a moment of solitude, then how in the world are you going to act prudently? So that's why this is important, to exercise the fortitude and to do these things.
And another corollary way to these, to practice fortitude, is to journal, to keep a journal and to write in it regularly. For one, is because that you are able to reflect, if you're doing it properly, on examples where, you know, maybe you failed in practicing fortitude, or maybe you have a way coming up where, like, you know, you're going to stand up to your boss and ask for a raise in a week, and you need to prepare yourself. But having this kind of external way of getting your thoughts outside of your mind and reflecting and reviewing them, that's a great way to set yourself up for being a more courageous man.
Stephen, can you tell me, maybe give me an example of how you journal? I'm kind of curious how you do that.
I'm still working on developing a good system. I use the bullet journal, which is something we've mentioned below in the show.
Nice, I love the show. It.
Yeah. Before, I've used the Benjamin Franklin journal. So, like, you're working on his 12 virtues. I thought that was great. I thought it was a little bit limited. I also, in addition to bullet journaling, I do have a journal that I carry around for work, or with me to work, I'll say, and I'll, you know, write down things that come up in the moment, whether thoughts or, you know, reminders to myself. And it allows me to, as compared to just maybe once a day, at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day, it allows me to kind of in the moment do some reflection, which is important. And I think it's also important to, you know, kind of review your day and plan for the next day at the very end. But I think doing it in the moment is actually a really great way to kind of stay on top of it and to help develop those habits a little more easily.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that I do too. I love the bullet journal. It's easy to set up. There's not a whole lot of overhead. It's great.
And it was like $10 for mine, so.
Yeah, I mean, you can do it in any journal too, but it's easy to use. So I think we should add another link to that. But
oh, for sure.
it's definitely, you know, when we think about prudence, about, you know, planning these things out, about making good choices, and, you know, it takes a lot of fortitude to actually exercise prudence consistently, I think, because there's all these distractions and these things that, you know, I don't feel like journaling. I just want to relax. I want to go to bed, whatever I want to do. So, and I also think that journaling is great. And, you know, actually there's one thing that we've been doing regularly on the show that, believe it or not, you guys, if you've been following it, have been maybe perhaps exercising some fortitude in doing this practice as well. And that's the daily deed. Because, you know, there's any sort of things that you could be doing instead of this. And if you've been following that consistently, I think that that's helping you to build fortitude and to kind of examine your life and to be more prudent about things. So that would be great to write down in a journal, but just using that practice regularly is, I think, another example of fortitude.
I like that you bring up prudence too, because to me, and I think at face value, prudence is kind of like, you know, the rational aspect. You're being very deliberate, very methodical, and you're engaging things, you know, kind of with an air of wisdom and knowledge. Yet still, our emotions are an integral part to who we are just as people. And there's a lot of times that we are afraid. So another great way to practice fortitude is to, you know, move forward and do what you're going to do, even if you're afraid. Like, for instance, what I mentioned with the Spartan race before, I mean, that's an unknown to me. So that brings a little bit of fear. I've never done one of those. I'm not saying that I'm terrified of doing it, but nevertheless, it's still a primal reaction to something that's unknown. I mean, heck, you can even use the example of asking a girl out, you know, for coffee. Those are things that probably make us a little bit fearful. And it does take fortitude in doing that. So practicing this on a daily basis, doing something that, you know, you may be a little afraid to do, is another great way to become a more courageous man.
Absolutely. And if you go back to those episodes on dating, I think you'll get a lot of examples and suggestions on how you can practice fortitude in that specific area.
And I'll link those below in the show notes.
I think when we think about fortitude, we often think about fighting for what you believe in. And maybe we can look at a couple examples ways that we can do that. So perhaps the first one is fighting against challenges and setbacks that that you might have. Can you think of any specific that come to mind, Stephen?
Yeah, you know, let's say that you get fired from your job. That's a big setback, and then you have the challenges of, you know, both financial worries as well as, you know, probably just the emotional burden and the mental burden of having, you know, to deal with this thing. It takes courage to not just rebound, but to rebound well, to rebound in a way that's healthy, to not give into things like drinking or drugs or pornography or other bad habits that, you know, even if you hadn't done them in 10 years, they may still rear their ugly head because your body and your mind has just been it's just been introduced to a lot of stress. So being able to stand up for yourself and still maintain yourself in a healthy and respectable way when you're faced with a setback like getting fired from your job or getting laid off is actually a really great way to you know, display courage.
And I think another one that we can come back to is fighting against something that's uncomfortable. And maybe the simplest example that we've already talked about is cold showers. So we probably don't need to harp on that one too much.
No.
But another one, which I think is pretty apparent today, is fighting against things that are unpopular. You might, comes to mind to me, is political correctness.
Right. I think we live in a world where there's the tyranny of the like button, in a sense, where, you know, the more people like or heart things on Twitter or share them, the more that, you know, we see something as popular, if we disagree with it, there's a lot more kind of riding on going against it, because I think we fear just kind of instinctually like this social backlash for, you know, going against the popular thing. And there's a lot of things we can do to prevent that. One is going to be spending less time on social media and letting your emotions and letting your beliefs really reflect what people think is popular, because you should not live your life as a democratic man. You should not live your life where everything is decided for you based on the whims and the votes of others. You should live a life, you know, kind of monarchically. You should be the king of yourself and reign over yourself, your emotions, your passions, and, you know, your goals in life. So fighting against what's unpopular and really standing up for yourself in that manner is another great way to, you know, do it, or to practice courage, I'll say.
What would you say about someone who maybe is like, yeah, we got to fight against things that are unpopular, but then they kind of take it to the extreme where it's like everything they do is fighting against the unpopular. Would you say that that's necessarily fortitude?
No. And, you know, I think that's kind of almost narcissistic in a way, because at the end of the day, it becomes more about getting attention if you're doing that. And you see this a lot, like, unfortunately, on social media, where you'll have people that will, you know, pick the most out there, either belief or group or what have you. And it becomes that becomes their monolith that they revolve around in life. And if you disagree with them, it becomes a personal attack on them. That's the way that they see it. And that's definitely borderline narcissism. So at the end of the day, we do want you to live a balanced life, and in a life where, you know, you're not narcissistic, you're a lot more empathetic with other people, and you are doing things, you know, you stand up for what you believe in, but you're doing it in a measured and I'll say a measured and wise way.
So let's move on to the next one, which is fighting against frauds and liars. I'm trying to think of an example.
That's a good one. Well, that's a good one because, you know, as men, and really as men that believe in like the classical tradition, we stand for, you know, beauty, truth, and goodness. And it's important to stand up for truth. And this kind of ties into the whole unpopular thing, because we live in an age of untruth in so many ways, and we live in an age of fake news, quote unquote. But it's important to stand up for what's true, because if we don't, well, first of all, we're letting other people walk over us, and it does affect you at the end of the day. You know, you can say, well, that untruth, you know, that it just doesn't affect me. Well, at the end of the day, it does, because it creates the environment, it shapes the environment that you're living in, and as things snowball, it can get worse and worse and worse. And whether you end up in a dystopian thing, or whether it's something simple like related, say, to like your marriage or a relationship with somebody, it becomes very easy for things to become irreparable or actively harmful to you if you don't stand up for them when, you know, you do first see these frauds, these liars, these people that are trying to manipulate you.
You could even say that our podcast, to an extent, is an exercise in fortitude, because classical masculinity, virtuous masculinity, these things are not popular. And I think there's a lot of frauds out there who say like masculinity is toxic and so on and so forth. And so just by standing up for true masculinity, for virtuous masculinity, and trying to be a more virtuous man, you're kind of fighting the good fight, I think.
Well, and you know, you and I are using our own names, and our reputations, in a sense, are on the line, because we are saying something that, I don't want to say it's unpopular, but there's definitely a vocal contingent of people that are out there that, you know, actively denounce topics like this, or that say, you know, we're bad because we're, you know, promoting masculinity in a healthy way. So I definitely agree with you. I'm not trying to pat ourselves on the back, but things like this are also good examples of practicing courage.
That's true too, because, and maybe this is ties into what I'm thinking of, ties into fortitude as well, because it's easy for these very loud people to make it seem like, you know, they're telling the truth, you know, and to think like, oh, we're alone in this. We're you know, this is unpopular, but that's basically a lie, because I think there are a lot of men and women too that buy into this and believe that this is true. And, you know, so fighting against the people who are screaming this lie out to everyone else, and maybe some people are buying into, is also fighting the good fight too.
For sure. And another one that, you know, is similar to frauds and liars would be bullies and people that, you know, are acting in aggression towards you. I think we basically covered that with kind of what we just said. But, you know, standing up for yourself, but also fighting for those who can't fight for themselves. Because there are plenty of people that, you know, maybe, maybe you're not in the scenario. Maybe people are, say, bullying someone else, you know, and this is the classic elementary school trope, but maybe, you know, you see someone that is bullying someone else. You're not actively being bullied against, but they're acting unjustly towards, you know, a fellow classmate or just even someone you may not know. And fighting for someone who can't stick up for himself, you know, maybe whether it's physically or maybe even if it's emotionally or mentally, that's another act of courage because you're actively pursuing justice in a world that, you know, maybe someone's trying to act unjustly towards someone else and not give them what is due them as a human being.
I have a good example that I think is fairly easy to apply, although it certainly requires fortitude. But when you think of gossip, like, and often you'll hear gossip from friends or people that you're close to. And I think one way that you can display fortitude is to tell this person, hey, I'm not going to listen to this. I don't, you know, maybe I don't even like the person you're talking about, but I'm going to stand up for them because this isn't right. It's not right to speak behind their back and do these things. And I think that's a small way, but a practical way and a way that can help you grow in fortitude is to stand up to gossip.
For sure. And, you know, because they can't fight. People that are being gossiped about cannot fight for themselves because, well, they're just not there. So that's a great example, man. Another way to practice fortitude, which you already kind of touched upon, is to defend and preserve what is true, good, and beautiful. And this is very similar to kind of fighting for what you believe in, because we hope and we kind of reckon that if you're listening to this podcast, you recognize that there are things that are true, there are things that are good, and there are things that are beautiful in the world. But in many ways, these things are, say, like inanimate objects, you know, whether it's art or whether it's beliefs or, you know, just general knowledge, and people will attack them. So standing up for them and fighting for them, which are things that cannot fight for themselves a lot of the time, is another noble and courageous act.
Absolutely. I'm not sure I have much else to say. I feel like we've covered it all here.
This has been a long podcast. As you may be able to tell, we're running out of steam a little bit. You know, I already had two cups of coffee, but it's been a long morning. The other thing that I'll say, and this is a little bit contrary to maybe to popular belief or to popular conception, is that it does take courage to work hard. And this is because, in a way, like our kind of inertia, the state that we are in inertia is just kind of one of inaction. You know, we don't like to expend energy a lot of the time. Our bodies are typically prone to preserving energy. And, you know, whether this is related to getting out of bed or hitting the snooze button or, you know, something else like not going to the gym versus going to the gym, working hard both at work, at home, and otherwise is actually really important because you're acting against kind of your initial instincts. So by doing that, you are acting in a courageous way. So if you do work hard, you know, you can very briefly pat yourself on the back. Don't pat yourself too hard or too long. You don't want it to develop pride here, but that is a good way to actively develop fortitude. And this is the case no matter what job you're in, whether you work at McDonald's or whether you are the CEO of a company. Working hard is something that's very important, and it is something good and just like good with a capital G, kind of like true, good, and beautiful. So definitely do that if it is something that you struggle with as well.
So why don't we wrap this up with a daily deed? And this daily deed is, I think, it's going to be a little bit more challenging, but maybe you'll display some fortitude and some temperance and rise to the occasion. But this daily deed, I think, is very practical because it's going to help us to practice temperance and fortitude. So hopefully the past few weeks, you've thought about temperance, you've thought about fortitude, thought about some ways that maybe you could grow in these things. So what I'd like you to do is pick three things and write them down, three things that either in temperance or fortitude or one or from both, write those down and then start with one and say, okay, let's create a plan. What can I do to achieve this and to grow in temperance or in fortitude in this area? Probably going to have to set some boundaries to make sure that this is achievable. And then take a look and see, okay, how can I be accountable to this? Who can I recruit to help me to be accountable to this? And what I mean by that is you're going to share this plan with this person and you're going to ask them to check in with you check in with you and ask you how things are going, to help you out and to hold you to it. And also, you know, in addition to accountability, work together as a team. Maybe suggest that they also look for ways that they can improve themselves. So it's about holding each other accountable, but it's also about challenging each other. And these are all different ways that you can work to improve and grow in temperance, to grow in fortitude. And so that's what I'm suggest that you should do as your daily deed. Pick three things, but more importantly, start with one thing. And then as you continue to improve on that, maybe move on to the next one and then the next one.
And the example that you just used, you know, particularly when you're talking about teamwork and the accountability partner aspect, is very important because it actually, you know, ties into one of the next topics we're going to talk about, and really one of the goals of this podcast, this project in general, which is to help men grow in brotherhood. Because we have to become virtuous men, but we also have to live, you know, in a community. We have to live with other men that can support us, that can challenge us, that can help us grow. Because if we don't, well, then a lot of the stuff that we've just been talking about, these not just past couple of weeks, but these past, what, 8 months or so, is just going to be in vain. So stay tuned for that, because coming up, we're going to do a couple of interludes. We're going to do a couple of special episodes, including our well-advertised Tolkien and Courage episode. And then we're going to probably, because we have not really developed a plan out for like 2 months out or a month and a half out, but we're going to probably hit into some brotherhood territory. So stay tuned for that. But we wanted to thank you. Honestly, truly, it's been a wild ride working on this one series. And when Brian and I started out on this podcast, this was the one series we had planned. We knew that we were going to do this and we were going to see how things were going. And we've had success and challenges just beyond our wildest dreams. And it's helped us grow as men. We've had so much pleasure connecting with you men. Our Facebook group is growing. We're four away from 50 men. Our Facebook group is more active. We finally have a Twitter now. And all of these links you can find below in the show notes. But more importantly, this is just a time for us to say thank you. And as always, if you like us, like, subscribe, leave a rating and review. It really does help us. Your feedback is vital to us. Haha, did it again. Your feedback is vital to Vital Masculinity because it really helps not just us grow the podcast and the project, but it helps us grow as men. We want to know how we can become better podcasters and help better serve you guys, because that is the reason we're doing this. So please leave us this honest feedback. Join our Facebook group. Follow us on Twitter. We got a couple of other goodies coming up for you, so definitely you'll want to stay tuned to those. And at the end of the day, always remember that virtue makes the man.